Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Hey, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends, this regular conversation where we try to bring amazing people to you. Sometimes I'm lucky enough to interview on this show a friend who's actually a friend in real life, and that's the case today as we bring my friend and an amazing woman, Megan Harrington, to the program today. Before we dive into our conversation with Megan, I thought it would be fun to give you some context for our talk, and that's by playing for you the trailer for the thing that we're really going to be talking about today, which is something that's consumed a lot of Megan's life for the last few years, and you've been hearing a lot of buzz for it in the last month or two, and that is The Dating Project. The Dating Project is a beautiful documentary that Megan has produced along with a team of amazing faith-filled people, and it's going to be coming to theaters on April 17th. And I think as we lead into our conversation with Megan, listening to the trailer will help you to get a little bit better sense, if you haven't heard of The Dating Project, of what it's all about. As you listen to the opening remarks of the trailer, imagine a man, if you will, a single man, having a conversation with his dog. Here's The Dating Project.
Hey, what's up? What's up? How you doing? Good. Nice to meet you. You are really attractive, and I'm nervous. I love you.
My name is Cecilia Lucia Campos Gutierrez. I am single.
My name is Shanti.
Hi, boys.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm an active listener.
My name is Matt Chilton, and I am single.
It's like single, married, and then there's extra single, and that's the one that I would check off.
What is dating?
Dating in today's society is cruel.
I don't really think that anyone knows how to date. Like, it's not a skill that our generation really has.
In college, I would definitely say hooking up is 100% more common than dating.
Story of boy meets girl. Girl really likes boy. Girl thinks that boy really likes girl.
Maybe she could just be old school. You know, like, he looked at me, I looked away.
There's not that, you know, gentleman and lady kind of feel to dating.
No limits anymore. Like, making out isn't hooking up anymore. It's way further than that.
There's a ridiculous amount of pressure on people. Mr. Close Enough is out there. Mr. Perfect, he's nowhere to be found.
About 8 or 9 years ago, I realized that students were dating, and I sort of was finding out things about hookup culture, and I thought, well, this is crazy. So I started asking students to go on what I refer to as traditional dates.
This is why I'm single, but the only thing I ask of a woman is that they replace you. Is that bad? Is that bad? Do you think women turn away from that?
Oh, heaven's sakes.
You really know that's...
The Dating Project, coming April 17th, a one-night special event in select cinemas nationwide. And as I mentioned, we welcome now to the podcast Megan Harrington. Megan recently wrote and produced this beautiful documentary feature for Paulus Productions and Power Pictures and Family Theater Productions, The Dating Project. And Megan is the ninth child in a family of 11 and a native of Missoula, Montana. Megan, so much to ask you about, but but welcome to Lisa Hendy and Friends.
Thank you, Lisa. It's so great to be on the air with you.
It's great to have you. You know, Megan is my neighbor here in Los Angeles, and so it's fun. It's fun that we've actually had a chance to. She's been in my home, and we've had a chance to get to know each other a little bit. And Megan, I imagine what it must feel like for you to sit and to listen to that trailer. The human beings that are a part of this project have become a part of your life because you've been at work at this for a few years now. Tell us a little bit about how the dating project came to be, like. What gave you this idea?
Sure. Well, Catherine Fowler Sample, she's now married because of the project, actually, and has a baby. Her and I were working on documentaries for Empower Pictures, and the client was looking for a series. So they were looking for different ideas. They had done one about family. And Catherine had come up with a Date in Every State reality type show. And we thought, well, you know, reality, don't want to do that. But that idea of dating, especially for two single women, women talk about dating, women talk about men, women talk about all those things. And I think men do too. I've said they just use less words. It's kind of that thing that everybody's talking about, but nobody's talking about. And we said, you know, let's explore that world with people from all different age groups. So we put together a pitch, you know, in the early mornings and the late evenings between the project we were working on. And kind of put together this treatment of what it would look like to cover people from different age categories. And we pitched it, and they liked the idea. So that set us on the course to find these different people that are in the film. You heard some of them on the trailer. Well, you heard all of them on the trailer. And then we found John Sipity. We actually had been working with our director, John Sipity, for a little bit on a different project and, you know, presented him with the idea. And I just can't say enough about him and what he was able to accomplish in his interviews with the different people, just the care that he took with them. Catherine, of course, you know, working with her, and our editor, Cheyenne, our DP, David Bolin. I just feel fortunate to be part of this team. And that's really what it was. And, you know, building a relationship within the team to then go out and witness these people's lives. And the way that they were so open with us was, I think, a testament to what John was able to do in making them feel comfortable that we were going to take care of their story.
Yeah, this is the interesting thing about this film is that it's presented from a variety of different perspectives. You have Carrie Cronin, who's the professor in Boston, kind of at the heart of this. But then you've got all these different voices that you heard in the trailer that are really bringing from a variety of different perspectives, all the way from young college students to the gentleman who's probably, I'm guessing, well, I don't want to guess because I don't want to insult him, but over college age, right? And so, you know, dating doesn't just necessarily impact on the person, you know, who's in college or high school. It's as we know, in the community that we live in, lots of folks who are all grown up age-wise, you know, are still active in the dating world. And so it brings all those different perspectives. Say a few words about Carrie and her part in this.
Oh, I couldn't say enough about Carrie, and knowing time limits on this podcast, I'll try to keep it condensed. She is a trailblazer and a change maker. She is providing a whole education for the students that she's teaching at Boston College. She cares about them on every level, and I think that's a wonderful gift for an educator to see that that they're responsible for the whole person. So she teaches them you know, all sorts of things. She teaches them Aristotle. She doesn't have a whole class on dating. It's not like she spends a whole semester, but she does talk to them about how they're living. You know, one thing that when we were there, she would say, and the college kids would say, she'll ask them at Monday after a weekend, did you have a virtuous weekend? What kind of choices did you make this weekend? And I think just asking those questions of kids is to really say, you know, is what you're doing what you want to be doing? Is it a reflection of how you want to live? What a wonderful thing to offer young people. And she does it with humor. So she comes at them. She doesn't come at them and say, never hook up again. Because she said, I know that that's not going to have the end result that you want. She says, go on a date. And then you tell me how you feel. And, you know, student after student, they feel much better. Just the courage to ask, but also just their self-worth. And how they how they view themselves and how they view other people. So I think if we could clone her and put her at different universities, she really is trying to do what I think is so necessary is take that relationship dimension and also talk about that with students in a way that is relatable and talks to them and what they're experiencing. And to have her in the documentary, Catherine's sister, Mary Colleen, actually came across her. There was an article called The Dating Doctor, and it was about her. And we said, we've got to find her. And we tried to get a hold of her repeatedly because she's busy. Her main priority is to be a professor. And can you imagine people emailing you asking if you want to be in this documentary that you don't know? The fact she even responded is, we pursued her very heavily, but she did respond. And she really, to me, makes all the difference in the film of tying together, you know, those practical ways in which we can change the way that we're approaching dating. So really, she's just a wonderful person.
Yeah, that question that you mentioned, that did you live a virtuous weekend? I think that actually, I found myself when you asked that, thinking back over my last few days and thinking, huh, well, here's a way I compromised on that. And here's a way maybe I would answer no to that. And, you know, so that's really, and I want to say when I've been lucky enough to see the Dating Project early a couple of times now. And I'm always struck by how I recognize that I'm not necessarily the target audience, but actually that in for me as a woman, let's see, God willing, Greg and I will be married 33 years in May. And I can think of many portions of this film that challenged me just in my relationship with my husband to be more effective in my communication, right, to express myself maybe differently, to consider things. And honestly, to date my husband, to see the freshness in that relationship. So if you're listening and thinking, well, I'm married and this isn't a film, no, go see it. First of all, it's just absolutely hilarious and awesome, and you'll fall in love with the characters. And there's really something in here for everyone. So let's talk about how kind of the trajectory of this, because the Dating Project is coming to theaters on April 17th for a special, I'm going to say an introductory one night event. But it's very important that people recognize that they come out that night. And why is it that it's being released this way?
Well, Fathom Events, if you're not familiar with that organization, they do a lot of documentary releases like this, and they have that event aspect. You know, they do the Met Opera. If you look up documentary releases, you'll find a lot that are going through this platform. And really, it's that one night to raise awareness to then help the channels that follow. DVD, streaming, college tours, church tours. So it's really important that this April 17th event, one night release, is well received. And it's difficult. It's a real grassroots push of people who say, you know what, I have to make sure I spread the word that this film is happening. Because hopefully, well, you said you found it entertaining. That's most important, that you can engage people. But also, it's an extremely important topic. It's an important topic for the church. It's an important topic outside of the church. It's hopefully through the different characters you will find something of yourself or your struggle. And I love that you said you thought about your own marriage, because if that really is, it is for any, it's as every single person, and that has a double meaning, obviously. But it really is for people who are married. We said hopefully you'll have, and I love that you said I want to date my husband again. We said hopefully that will happen, that you should continue dating in marriage, just only your spouse. That those sorts of things will come alive in this one night release of like, hey, we need to have this be seen by as many people as possible on April 17th. And then from there, start a conversation. If you connect with the film or don't connect with the film, I think you'll be talking about the subject matter of what it means to you. That for us would just be, that would be a win.
Well, I hope everybody does come out. I know from having worked a little bit on the Mully documentary that came out, before Christmas, that the potential for a one-night release to become multiple nights is very real, because Mully released that way and then ended up, I don't know how many times it was shown weeks after that, right?
That's
so
right.
That could happen with the Dating Project as well.
It absolutely could happen. It just is dependent on what sort of impact that April 17th has. So, yes, the more that come out that one night definitely could help there be additional encore performances.
So the best thing folks can do right now is go over to thedatingprojectmovie.com as you're listening to this and purchase group tickets. I'm so excited that my parish actually has for weeks had a Facebook event up, and they're inviting people to come as a parish to see the film. And the reason I like that is, first of all, because I want many, many bodies and seats that night. But also, I think it's important for our parishes to actually recognize that, you know, beyond that 1 hour that we spend in Mass on Sunday, that our life, you know, as the body of Christ can be so enriched by events like this, that when we come together and watch a film and then, you know, sit together afterwards and have coffee and talk about it, and that our priests are there and that they're a part of it, that that this actually addresses, like, as you said, that our real life, and that the church needs to be present in this way. So do you know of other parishes that are promoting it in this way?
Yes, there are definitely other parishes throughout the country that are working on events either with their youth group ministries or making announcements from the pulpit or within the bulletin. Because as you said, having church groups go, and especially with their young adults and mom and dad and the pastor or the priest, the leaders of the church, I think will really open everyone's eyes to the incredible need for instruction and help and godly wisdom in this area that's so difficult to navigate. I just don't know if the church, which I love, so this isn't a slam of the church, but it is a hope that there will be an awakening of all the topics that we could be talking about in social justice. I do find this one at the top, because from it, all those other things flow, because if we can't be in relationship correctly, nothing will seem right. And I know that's one woman's opinion. I mean, it's the most important social justice issue. I'm really not exaggerating as I've thought about it more and more. If we don't get this right, marriage and family life, so many things spring forward from this ability to date and be in relationship with others in a way that God has intended us to be. And that is a struggle. It seems so simple, but what we found and what I know in my own life, it's not. And we need help. And we need practical tools.
I know your heart, you know, Megan, as a beautiful lady of faith, and I know how much you love our church and love Our Lady as well. And I think you're really striking something, and it's one of the reasons that, actually, getting back to Dr. Cronin, that I was so impressed. You know, the topics that she takes on, you know, in a respectful way, but, you know, then a Catholic university like Boston College would be, you know, using the phrase "hooking up" in a class. Is significant to me that we're not, you know, shying away from what the reality is in our church. And right now we've just been through the experience of many of our young adults from around the world gathering with Pope Francis for a kind of pre-sit and synod initiatives. And so, you know, this is a time that that we should be having these conversations, because for all of us, you know, those of us who live in family, you know, family comes from relationships. And relationships come from things like dating.
Yes.
But you kind of address it in the project. So you're, you know, probably more connected to it than I am. But this idea that people have kind of forgotten how to date. Say a few words about that.
Yes. Well, it was. So when we were pitching this idea, we knew something was kind of not functioning right with dating. Catherine and I were both single. We went to a dinner and there were 14 women, and two were married and the rest weren't in relationships. And then a lot of us were like, I don't know when the last date I went on was, like, that I would classify as a date. So it really struck us too, of like, hey, why aren't people dating? And in Carrie's class, to see the kids writing in their notebook, like, a date's when there's two people, you have to ask in person, you know, questions to ask on a date, and her talking about a social script that does not exist anymore, when you could see that response in kids in her class and really across all the demographics and all the quote unquote datables that we were with, you did see that really nobody is sure what a date is. And I think what's happened, one of the major things that happened, is the over-sexualization of everything. That fear of physical, that if you're on a date, and what does that mean at the end? And the three-date rule, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. But
I like it. Can you say the three rules that are a part of the first date?
Well, after the three-date rule in the modern world and books that are talking about.
Oh, no, I don't know that.
You wait till you sleep with someone till the third date. So it's a three-date rule.
Oh,
so
wow. Ouch.
It's that idea. And then there is a real pressure, and we've had other women and men, and, you know, this idea of, it's coming, and, oh, there's all this pressure. Well, what Carrie Cronin does is she gives you this dating assignment, level one. There's no physical contact. There's an A-frame hug. You don't have to worry about that because she's taken it off the table. And it is a stress for people. I know that seems probably shocking, but it is a part of, unfortunately, the reality. So she has a three-date rule, Carrie Cronin. So the battle of the three-date rules. Carrie Cronin's is, if you go out with someone and after three dates, these are level one dates, meaning no physical contact, no drugs or alcohol. If you don't have a legitimate romantic interest in the person, you let them go. You let them be free. And I think that's so genius. If you don't know, you're like, hey, you know, do both people a favor and move on. And someone might go, you know what? I disagree with you. It shouldn't be three dates. Well, make it five. You know, make it something, you know, tailor it to you. But there is a time frame from which you should say, I actually am not interested in this person. And to be fair to both parties, not continue seeing them.
Yeah, I think that's where some people kind of get in their head about, well, if we keep dating, I can change them in this way. And maybe I do this, then they'll do that. And that's something different. And, you know, forget it. I love that too.
I'm not sure. And then I'll be not sure for like 2 or 3 or 6 months or a year, when that might also be telling you something. The fact you aren't sure.
Read the red flags. So
it's hard. It really is.
Yeah, because we're desperate sometimes to be in a relationship. So we think, well, I'll just change this person. And that doesn't always work. So Megan, so many questions to ask you, but one thing about working on a documentary is sort of the fact that, you know, these aren't necessarily actors and actresses. They're real people. How is it to kind of produce a project where, you know, you're dealing with, especially kind of in a real candid way, people's personal lives and respecting, you know, the emotion of that? There were a couple of moments in this, frankly, when I was like, I'm alternating between laughing out loud and reaching for the tissue. How do you do that with real people and kind of respect where they are and treat them with such caution, but also make it real for the audience?
I think that is a great question. And really, we had people praying and we were praying and really evaluating, is what is in here serving that person well? Are we able to tell the story? But would that person, how would they feel watching it? You know, it is a hard subject matter too, because it is dating, relationships, hookup. Those are the topics. So immediately there's exposure there of lifestyles and choices. And so we really, it was a balance that we tried to maintain in saying, you know, there were certain moments we didn't put in. And there were certain things that we didn't think should go in the documentary about their stories or different people we interviewed. So it was trying to just tell the best story in the most respectful way. Because if you sit down with people, which we did for hours and hours, and ask really personal questions, along with questions that are, you know, not personal, you know, just fun, and you're going to get responses that are really intense in some cases. And we tried as best as we could to be respectful of them and just be able to tell the story. Unfortunately, they all have seen it. And they all did respond well. But that was always a concern, because you are dealing with real people. And this isn't just a fun, oh, everything, you know, there's not any intense moments or questions or subject matters. There are intense ones with this particular topic. And that was always something we were striving for, is they would like the movie if they watched it. And that was a real balance and hard, and going back and saying, is that really necessary? We had great production companies behind it, Empower and Paulist and Family Theater, you know, just to make sure we were doing justice. And that comes with prayer. But it certainly was a concern. I think it's a very valid question, and it is an interesting process because we had so much footage. You could have four documentaries.
Oh my goodness. Well, maybe we'll get a part two. So Megan, I have to ask about, you know, you mentioned prayer, and you and I think connected through Family Theater Productions, or through sort of this community of praying people that are out here. I don't live in Hollywood, and I know you don't live in Hollywood, but we both live in Hollywood by being connected right to an entertainment industry out here. And the interesting thing from people, and I didn't know about this before I moved to LA a couple of years ago, that people hear, oh, Hollywood, and you automatically think of the sin and, you know, the mm-hmm. glamorization of evil and all this. I've been so struck by the faith of people in the entertainment industry, and how there's sort of this renaissance of the entertainment industry recognizing that projects, whether they're faith-based or just like this one, important topics to look at from a heart perspective, there's a hunger there. So say a few words about mm-hmm. that, and what it is like to be a woman of faith in Hollywood these days.
Well, I think you just really hit the nail on the head. You come here, when I came here, I was like, oh, great. Gosh, how am I going to do this? This is going to be hard, and how do you maintain your values and work on projects you really believe in? And those were the most important things to me, is to be involved with things that are good and have light. It can be edgy. They can tackle tough topics, but they would point people towards God and not away from God, you know, at the end of the day. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know how that's going to happen, and all these uncertainties. I have met and worked with some of the most incredibly faithful, prayerful, and if they're Catholic, just really believing and promoting the beliefs and teachings of the church in a way that I did not expect. And I wonder if it's something where you generalize a whole city, and then you realize, oh my gosh, within that city there's this niche group that that really is trying to make a difference, that is fighting the good fight. They're wanting to produce content that is edgy and entertaining and inspiring and all those things. I couldn't believe, like you, I was blown away. There's so many people that actually are on the same page as you than are not. It's just a small world. Well, you know, I mean, all of a sudden you'll meet someone and then you'll meet them somewhere else. And it's like, particularly for the Catholic world, we call it the Catholic mafia. All of a sudden, you know, you're in these circles with the same people, and you start running into them, and you start to realize, oh, there is this great army that in the evangelization, it's through media and the power of media, recognizing that and saying, well, you know what, let's put content out there that is also true, good, and beautiful, that we're not seeing. So I was blown away by how many wonderful people there were and have been long before I arrived, and will be long after I go, that will continue fighting and continue wanting to produce great content and won't give up.
Well, and I love the emphasis on the true, the good, and the beautiful, but also on great content, because one thing that strikes me in the Dating Project is that the production value of this, you know, frankly, sometimes we work on faith related projects and sharing them, and it's like, well, it's a really, you know, it's a good story, and so you want to get it out there, and, you know, it will inspire people, but sometimes it's not that well done. But this film is beautiful. It's so beautiful. And so kind of, what do you think goes into, what are some of the ingredients that go into with the Dating Project, making it such high quality, frankly, and not just like, oh, you're like, oh, that's nice. You know, that's nice. But it's sort of like a little B, you know, yeah, in terms of the quality. So what are the ingredients in a great documentary like the Dating Project that make it so beautiful?
Well, I would say it's the director and the DP, so John Sippity and David Bolin. They put so much of their heart into this. That's the reason it looks beautiful. It wasn't just a film that they were working on. It was a film that they were part of. And it was, especially John, obviously, directing and editing, so he's throughout the process. And David coming on for shoots when we, you know, were in different cities or locations. They loved it. And you can tell because it's beautiful. And they would get up, Catherine and I, they'd be like, can we go get a time lapse at 6 a.m. in San Francisco? After, you know, being up till midnight the night before, transferring footage and having finished a late shoot. It was just, they're so hardworking and so invested that that is to me the biggest difference in this whole project, is that everybody who was working on it, it wasn't just another project that they were part of. The project was part of them. And it was a unique situation that I hope in each project I work on can be replicated, because you can tell, I'm glad you noticed production value, because it really was those two guys taking on the project as their own.
Well, it's beautiful. So again, for listeners, it's really important for all of us that we have a date on April 17th with as many friends as we know. The way that you can get tickets is to go to thedatingprojectmovie.com or through Fathom Events, right? But the easiest thing is to go to thedatingprojectmovie.com and then click on the group tickets and just go ahead and buy. You know, when was the last time that you had a gathering of all your friends? Just go ahead and buy a bunch of tickets and then invite people. It's really easy. Go have some popcorn, but plan for some time afterwards, because I know from both of the times that I've pre-screened the film that you want to have time to kind of process it and have some conversations. And so is that the intention with this, that this begins a conversation that then goes on and kind of becomes more than just the night of the movie, Megan?
Oh my goodness. Exactly. It is to ignite a conversation about dating and relationships, that a spark is lit and that we start saying, hey, what do I want? What do I really want? How do I want to be treated? How should I be treating other people? Are my kids experiencing this? Should I sit down and have a conversation with them? I'd be great if mom and dad went to this with their, you know, high school or college kids and they had a conversation after. It'd be great if peers went and taught and sat down and have a conversation. If it's a church group, sit down, have a conversation. You are exactly right in the goal. It is a conversation starter that sparks a movement to say, hey, let's evaluate this area of our lives and let's see if how we're doing things is working or not. And let's go on a date. Let's go on a level one date, which will make sense to people later when they see the movie of what that means. But go on a date and have the courage to ask someone out and have the courage to say, this is who I am. Have the courage to have someone get to know you and take the time to actually listen to someone else and just have fun.
You can have a level one date, The Dating Project.
Yes.
I challenge you exactly. If you're listening out there. Yes, if you can't remember the last time you went on a date. Yeah. It's the perfect thing. And I mean, how amazing would that be to take somebody that you're just starting to date to a film like this, to actually have this conversation early in your dating process? That'd be amazing. Well, Megan, I want you to know, I think it's going to do really, really well. I know that there are so many of us that are working overtime to get the word out. And friends, honestly, I've said it to you before that if you want projects like this, we have to support them. So this is where I'm really going to challenge you that, you know, you really look at this as a mission, not just to go out and see a movie one night, but really to accompany people right where they are, which is this call that we have to missionary discipleship. This is a huge part of life. So I want to challenge you that on April 17th, you're just like me taking a selfie in front of the movie picture of The Dating Project movie, and that you're surrounded by people that you love or that you would love to get to know better and make this a part of that. Megan, are there any kind of closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners before we let you get back to work?
Well, I think we've covered everything. I just want to thank you for championing the film. And like you said, if we don't support these kind of projects, it's hard for them to continue to get traction in the next one. Also, just for all you're doing in general in evangelization. And that just people take April 17th, the datingprojectmovie.com, as an opportunity to explore the world of dating and relationships, to laugh, to, like you said, maybe cry, but to ultimately say, we have to start talking about this. And here's a great opportunity to do that. And like you said, we met people where they were, and that's part of their story. So if we could all just meet people where they are and talk about, you know, where we go from there after the film, I think it'd be a wonderful movement to start.
Well, Megan, you'll be in my prayers over the next week as we get ready to have this. And I'm hoping I can have you back on at some point soon in the future to talk about other projects, because I know that you're at work already on your next big documentary relating to someone who's very special to both of us, and that's Venerable Patrick Peyton.
Yes.
So
yes. Oh,
can I reserve you for a comeback on the podcast?
Lisa, you can reserve me any time. The fact that you have me, I'm very grateful.
Awesome. Well, Megan, best of luck, and just know that we're with you in prayer, and I can't wait to see what comes of this, and just congratulations. And friends, remember that you can go to thedatingprojectmovie.com and definitely be a part of the team that makes some change in our world through this beautiful project. So that's all we have for this week on Lisa Hendy and Friends, but we definitely would like to hear from you. So if you have questions about today's episode or anything that you'd like to hear in the future, please don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media. I'm at Lisa Hendy, or you can always get me with an email to lisahendy@gmail.com. Definitely please share the podcast with a friend. If you've enjoyed it, you can leave us a review, or if you haven't enjoyed it, you can leave us a review wherever you're listening to podcasts, and click the share button. That spreads the love. So until next time, I wish you and yours all the best. God bless, friends, and have a great week.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
The Cincinnati Catholic Men's Conference is back. Tickets are on sale now for Saturday, April 28th at the Taft Theater at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. The speaker conference roster is being hailed as one of the best lineups in the country. In rare appearances, come see Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, the man motivator Father Larry Richards, former Moeller High School and University of Notre Dame head football coach Jerry Faust, and the big celebrity keynote, Baz Rutten, UFC world champion, MMA world champ, and movie star. The conference theme is What It Means to Be a True Christian Man in Today's Society. Don't miss the incredible day of motivation, spiritual benefit, and fellowship with men from all walks of life. Get tickets now at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. That's cincinnatimensconference.com or 513-214-1534. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.